This is Dojo Live, Tech Without Borders, stories that bring us together.
Hello and welcome to Dojo Live this Wednesday, November 1st, 2023. My name is Kim Lantis, and it's my pleasure to be hosting today along with America Guerrero.
Hello, everybody. Excited for being here again. Happy Feliz Día de los Muertos, by the way.
That is right. Matter of fact, I actually have some pan de muerto here ready to keep eating after the show.
Embrace the Mexican. Yeah.
Exactly. But we digress because today we're here to talk with Maddie Rifkin, who's the founder and CEO of Mount. Maddie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's going to be a really cool conversation. What we're going to be talking about, and I love this phrase coined by Mount, and that is wandering wisely with recreational assets. And we're going to talk about how to travel with just a backpack and connect with the local community. But before we dive into that, Maddie, we'd really like to get to know you a bit better. What's the Maddie story, your passion and everything that sort of led up to founding Mount?
Oh my gosh, it's a long journey for sure. A fair amount of people know this now, but I actually started my entrepreneurship journey and Mount when I was 12 years old. So it's been a journey. I'm now 26. So
I was gonna say about half of your life ago.
Yeah, about half my life. And kind of just grew up needing to be an entrepreneur. So I had this problem forgetting my bike lock. I was like, I can solve that. So built a bike lock into the bike, got a patent for it. And that's what started this journey. And it was called Mount Locks. And it was truly a bike lock company. And that's what I was building. Went to college at Northeastern in Boston for entrepreneurship, to no one's surprise. And really started taking Mount Locks to the next level and kind of went on this massive journey of entrepreneurship, founding a company, and probably going through 9 or 10 pivots at this point to get to where we are now. And it was bike locks and then scooter locks. And I was helping the scooter industry with Bird and Lime and Uber and Lyft and all of that kind of locking infrastructure, because as everyone knows, they just put scooters everywhere and it was so chaotic. And basically along that journey, realized that tourists and travelers were the ones using scooters. It was not a commuting tool. It was more of a fun way to get around town and experience the new, you know, landscape and what that world had to offer. And so that's kind of when I really stumbled upon what Mount is now doing, which is we are in the travel space, got into the Airbnb world, at first putting scooters at Airbnbs and then realized that was also not it. And then really kind of got back to my roots of travel. I grew up traveling, have been to probably over 30 countries, and just realized that people want to travel authentically. They ask their Airbnb host, what should I do? Where should I go? They're even going to go sit in the local bar to find the local, to then find the local recommendations. It's just kind of this whole process. And I was like, I think we can bring all these communities together, the local businesses, the Airbnb hosts, accommodations, and then travelers, and see what we can do there.
I love it. I absolutely love the story. We're gonna touch back. We'll loop back on those 30 countries near the end of the show, I think, because I am curious about that. But in terms of Mount, you touched real high at the high level of what it is, the problem that you're solving. But what are you solving? How does it work?
Yeah. So Mount is, we like to say we're a marketplace, and we bring three distinct communities together. So the first is travelers, and I would say it's kind of this casual nomadic traveler, someone that likes to get out and experience the local cuisine and culture and find those hidden local gems, and probably is doing multiple countries and destinations in the same trip. And then we're bringing together these Airbnb host accommodation providers, because they do get peppered with questions about what to do and where to go. They don't really have the tools to be able to give you anything other than a verbal answer. And then we bring together also the vendors and the people providing these amazing local gems, whether that's your local restaurant or someone that's running a hot air balloon tour because they're a retired airplane pilot, someone that has put together a cooking class because they've lived that cuisine for the last 65 years and now want to show people what it's like. Anything that falls into those kind of categories of like responsible and ethical travel can fit into our marketplace, and we bring them together. So the way it works right now is if you show up to an Airbnb property and they're working with mounts, and you go and ask, hey, what should I do? Where should I go? That host is actually going to give you their curated list of bookable recommendations powered by mount. And then in the back end, we will have gone and brought all of these local businesses and people online. So all their stuff is now payable and bookable, and you can get connected and find them. So we make them discoverable. So that's kind of how we play with all three of these communities and make sure that they're all working together to really drive that individual market forward.
I love that. So who is your client? It's the Airbnb hosts that are paying for this service, or what?
Yeah, so Mount works in a few ways. We're free for anyone to start working with us. Like, there's no extra fees. We don't upcharge the traveler for booking stuff on Mount. There's no fees across the platform. But what we do with the local businesses is, because we're bringing them online, we're giving them this new marketing channel, we contract to get about 10% of their revenue that sells through our booking platform. So you're not going to see an experience they host on Mount for like an extra $10. It's already baked into the price. But that way we get some money and can keep working.
I love it. I love it. You know, so we've got these three different segments that we can talk about, because I'm really curious here as we dive into travel, hospitality in general. And let's first talk about the travelers, because I think that fits in most nicely with the topic that we're talking about, traveling with just a backpack and the local community. Is this a generational thing? Is this a new thing? Is this the way that it's kind of always been done? I mean, I remember we had this past guest years ago, Yossi Ginsberg. Actually, he wrote a book called The Jungle, created a movie off of it that starred Daniel Radcliffe. He was a young man, I believe in the 80s, when he got lost in, I think it's the Bolivian rainforest, survived and wrote a book about it. So, I mean, this idea of backpacking, I mean, isn't that new, but is it on the rise? Like, what are you seeing? Is this new kind of traveler?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I always like to tell people I'm on a mission to change the way we travel. And I think it's because it's so broken right now. I mean, right now, travelers are producing twice as much waste as a local. So definitely not traveling responsibly. I think the way tourism is set up right now, it's destroying lands. We've seen this time and time again, especially in Hawaii. Tourists come, go on hikes that are not actually hikes and destroy sacred land. And it's just not a good environment for anyone involved. And then you have these big companies coming in just purely to benefit off a traveler's wallet. And then you get stuck in that common tourist trap and you're like, okay, I just wasted $100. What's going on? And then people left out of the equation are the true locals who know what this land that is amazing to them has to offer. And those traditions and all that stuff gets left behind. And so from my perspective, the way we want to change travel, and if Mount is truly successful in like 5 to 10 years, the goal is to get everyone going with just a backpack. So this notion of bringing checked luggage that's like 50, 60 pounds and you need four of those bags is going to be gone. You're going to be going with just the backpack. And then pretty much all of the locals, they have stuff that we've realized is good for that environment, whether it be a kayak, golf clubs, paddle boards, some type of clothing even that might be really good for what you're trying to do, some hiking gear, fishing, stuff like that, will be available on the platform. So you can get all of that stuff you need. Plus, if you are needing hiking equipment, why wouldn't you also just be able to discover the hidden gems when it comes to hiking and get that responsible recommendation and all that stuff? So it kind of all works together. And that's why we say the way we travel is changing, because I think from my perspective, people have a bucket list, and I'd be curious to know if you guys have this also. I do. But you have a bucket list of like all these experiences you want to tick off before, you know, the end of life. Mine, one of my top ones actually that has been there for years was going to see the Northern Lights. It didn't really matter to me where I saw them, but I did, you know, want to have that experience. And so for then my kind of travel plans evolved, and I was like, okay, I'm in New York. What's the closest place I could probably go that would also be pretty cool? And I was like, oh, Iceland seems not too far. And then I was like, okay, but what property Airbnb host is going to enable me to see the Northern Lights? And I found one. His name is Trygva. He was awesome. Definitely showed me where the Northern Lights was. It was great. He's like, look here and stand here for 4 hours.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, last on my list was getting flights. And I probably got those a week or two before I left. And so travel is completely changing, because in the olden days, or, you know, even a week ago, people were like, let me get my flight. Let me find the destination, the house, whatever it may be. And experiences last. And then you don't have a memorable vacation, because you're like, there was no purpose in going there. You just kind of were like, chose that destination and went for it.
I have this trip that it was in my bucket list. I'm going to Scotland at the end of the year. So that was part of the bucket list. And something that I'm quite like insecure, it's in terms of security. I don't know who I should reach out to. And I know that if I want to connect with some locals, it's going to be better, the experience, because they know, they have information about their places, the culture and everything. Because I see in Expedia, for example, that there are some tours, but maybe those are just too silly. I don't know. So in terms of security, how is this process of making sure that your travelers are going to find the perfect option for them, but with security? I live in Mexico. That's why I
it's
sometimes.
That's a really good point. Yeah. The idea of being safe. Like,
exactly. Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
Here in Latin America, sometimes there are occasions that I don't feel that safe. That might be different in Scotland, but how do I make sure that that is going to be the scenario for me?
Yeah. And it's interesting because we get that a lot. And I mean, for my personal journey too, like, being a solo female traveler is daunting and it's terrifying because you don't really know the area you're exploring. And when I did a lot of traveling previous to now being a full-time founder, it doesn't allow you to travel as much as I would like, but I would have a really hard time booking even Airbnb properties in other countries just because I was like, I don't know the neighborhood whatsoever. And yeah, the photos look great, but what if I'm actually in an unsafe area and I just don't know? And I would go into the Facebook threads and just ask other travelers that had been there. And I'm like, where's the best places to stay? And I wanted that sense of community and those recommendations from people that have done it, not just, you know, a booking.com or an Airbnb or something that just is there for booking and nothing else. So that's what I'm really trying to build at Mount, is not just a place where you go and find this stuff, but really it's a community. And so we have this community aspect for all three of these groups. Like, the accommodation providers that are joining this platform are all vetted based on what they want to offer, what they're offering. And we don't let anyone, just anyone, join and start promoting what's in our marketplace. Like, we truly want that to be a safe environment for people. And then from the traveler perspective, we want you all talking to each other. Like, if I could have that person who's been before give me their itinerary, like, I have a friend who every itinerary she builds, I'm like, I will go on your trip because I know it's good. You know, do that for each other, because those are the best local recommendations are from people that have done it, the locals themselves. So we do try and foster that really big sense of community within Mount.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. I do have a question here in terms of, like, I don't know if this is me being the devil's advocate, but I know, you know, living here in Mexico for several years now, close to where I am in Hermosillo is several beach places, San Carlos, we've got Kino Bay. And what I really like about these places is that they're not overly developed, right? They're getting there. And then every time I go, it becomes more and more like Little America or whatever. And I absolutely hate it. Personally, I know that, you know, we could probably argue about this for days, but utilizing a tool like Mount, which I think is so great because it's the way that I like to travel, to, you know, find the local things, eat at the, you know, the street foods and all of these things. But is there the risk of making this shift that it's no longer this like little hidden jewel and that these businesses and these places become you know, the reason why Mount was existing in the first place? How can we handle, I don't know if I'm making sense, but to not have these awesome little jewels turn into that Americana
that made us make Mount sense.
In the first place.
You know, it's funny too, because I get a lot of questions like that from our investors or just people when they hear the word experience are like, oh, is this another Airbnb experiences? Is this a Viator, you know, a get your guide? And I stop them dead in their tracks and I'm like, absolutely not. Like, that is not what I set out to build. And Mount will not become one of those companies that just lets anyone list and then you lose control of your supply and it gets, you know, bad and go on things that are like tourist traps. And I'm like, that's not what we're all about. So our kind of review process is built into the way you get into Mount. And so an example I can give you is when an Airbnb host gets onboarded into our community, we try and find someone in a market that Mount isn't in. And if they're an Airbnb host, typically they have 1 to 2 properties. They are kind of a local and they're just like, I have this extra house. Maybe they inherited it and they want to rent it out and just bring some tourism to their area. We like working with those people because what they'll do is they'll onboard their network. So they know the local business down the road that's making tortillas, or they know the cheese shop, the winery, and they know those local businesses have been run and established for the last like 40, 50 years, maybe longer. And those are the ones we like to find. And us as a company, like I couldn't go into where you live and be like, I know all the local gems, because I don't. So I'm not going to pretend that way. But for example, Kim, if you had any you knew, you could upload them onto Mount, and then we'd reach out and get them onto the software and make them bookable. But if it comes from you guys, the vetted locals, we trust those recommendations a bit further than just like us going and doing it ourselves.
In this reviewing process with locals, how do you consider accessibility in with the experiences that this platform offers? Because I'm thinking in this journey of finding a Scotland adventure, I have seen that there are so many places that if you're using a wheelchair, it will be impossible for you to see the landscapes in an island of Skye. So that is kind of sad. What do you do for those travelers who have these trips in their bucket list that have, well, disabilities? How do you consider that this could change?
Yeah, I mean, definitely something on the forefront of our mind, because we want to be inclusive to every type of traveler, not just someone that finds us on TikTok and is like, I'll go. What we're trying to do is break the mold of the way experiences and trip add-ons are presented, which is like you get your 4 photos, you get your 5-star reviews and maybe some comments, and that's all you get to understand from that. And at Mount, we're building these, and you'll see them on our website, but they're almost badges. Like if you were a Girl Scout, you would understand this, but like badges like that, that you get to sew on. And we have different ones for different types of curators, different types of travelers even as well. And that's kind of how I see us presenting these trip add-ons, these experiences, these amenities is, you know, if it is something that is accessible and inclusive, giving that badge and shouting that out and making that a filter. Obviously, I don't think everything can be 100% accessible just by what it's set up to do. But I do think we can make strides towards that, which would be fantastic. And then break the mold on the way this stuff is presented, because right now it's not the greatest.
Right. But taking it back to the experience and this local experience with accessibility, but you mentioned like, you know, the best tortillas down the street. Is this also helping the way Mount set up these local businesses make more money? Because how does this work on your platform in the sense of like, cool, you want to buy tortillas, that's the best place to go. But I could just walk in and buy tortillas and there would be no connection, right? Like Mount recommended it, but how are you going to get your 10% commission? What's the experience in that other than eating a great tortilla, right? So are you helping this ignite, let's say, an entrepreneurial type or another layer to the business that already exists? Like, yes, you're not just going to go there and eat the tortilla, but they're going to show you how they're made. You're going to get to make it yourself or that type of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, that couldn't have been stated any better, because what we put on the platform, and this is actually why we stepped away from just being rentable gear, because it's like, yeah, someone could rent a bike, but they still don't know what to do with it. And so anything that's in our platform must have that kind of elevated experience component. So for a restaurant, for example, because we get asked this all the time by Airbnb hosts, they're like, I want to recommend this restaurant. Can I just link a reservation calendar? And I'm like, well, no, like we're going to have to work with that restaurant to create some type of unique experience. And maybe they have a special chef that can walk you through a cooking class, or it's a special tasting menu specifically for your guests. So it's stuff that's curated that's only on the Mount Marketplace. So you're not going to be able to walk in and go do it. It has to be booked ahead of time. And especially for a lot of these mom and pop businesses that are pen and paper, our software enables them to like take online bookings, collect money that way. And then you get directly in front of these guests and travelers that you otherwise wouldn't know who they are. So we're kind of creating this direct marketing stream for these curators, vendors, and they seem to very much like that.
I think it's absolutely beautiful. So let's take it back to you, Maddie, a little bit. So we've got me talking about meeting my husband in Mexico. We've got America's upcoming trip to Scotland. You already talked a little bit about seeing the Northern Lights in Iceland. But earlier in the show, you mentioned, I think 30 is your estimate of countries you've visited. What would you say is some of your favorite experiences? And has that come full circle and they're now available on Mount?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, the one that comes top of mind, I've rooted a lot of my travel around family just because my grandparents grew up travelers as well. And when I was very young, they took us on trips basically around the world instead of school, which I think honestly was more educational anyways. So it worked out for the better. But we would travel as all 16 of us. So me and my cousins are very close because of that, and my grandparents and everyone. And so that's kind of my memories are incorporating family and travel and just this good ecosystem of like love and encouragement. And so one of the coolest ones I did was I decided to go alone. Well, not I was with my friend, but we were alone together. And we stopped in Norway. And my grandfather is actually Norwegian. So he's from there. He had moved to the States when he was younger. And I reached out and I was like, Grandpa, do you have any like living relatives or anyone you know in Norway that I can meet up with? And he's like, yes, I've stayed in contact with everyone. And we had a reunion before I was born. So I missed that one. But I was like, cool, I'm going to create my own reunion. So I had emailed one of his distant cousins. I want to say, yeah, his name was Knut. And I was like, hey, I'm, you know, Tryggmyrin's granddaughter. Like, I'd love to meet up with you and just meet you and see what's going on. And so we did. We got to meet up in Oslo. And then he showed me around the entire city. And I got to see what his local gems were and what he really valued. And I think that was a really fun way to kind of experience Norway was one from a local, but a relative.
I love it. And of course, your grandpa in our days, we did this, all the stories about you'll never believe.
Goes on for years later.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, as a leader of and even though it's been half of your life, which is fantastic, but you are still a relatively young entrepreneur. Maybe what types of words of wisdom might you have for anyone like you, whether that be, you know, the 12-year-olds or the 26-year-olds, maybe even the 50-year-olds? What's this journey been like for you in terms of what you feel you've done right and what you feel maybe others could learn from in the terms of not to to do?
You know, it's so funny looking back on what I've built and gotten done, because my biggest piece of advice is to just get out there and do it. And I think when you're young, even when you're 12, you're going to have a lot of self-doubt. At least I did. And I was like, I don't think I'm old enough to do this. I don't have the skills to do it. I don't know what I'm doing. But I just did it anyways. And I was like, well, the worst that can happen is I fail and then I'll get up and continue on my way. Like, there's not really any risk involved here when you're 12 years old. So I have taken that into kind of everything I do, even though I'm not 12 anymore and risk is a lot more on the table. But it's just like, I love failing. I love failing fast. And so I thrive on people telling me this is a bad idea. This isn't going to work. Why are you doing this? You're a young, you know, woman. You have no place in business. Like, I've heard the full kind of spectrum there. And it fuels me. And I save those emails or LinkedIn messages or texts or whatever they are, so that in like 5 years when this completely works and Mount is potentially a public company, I can do a big blast being like, hey, here's all the naysayers that I got to overcome and people that said it wasn't going to work. So I use that as growth and power, and don't let it get me down.
I want to know. Yeah, I want to get to know your team. You were talking with Kim in backstage about a video that I haven't watched, but I'm curious. Could you share about the company culture that you have? What do you need to have if you want to be part of this company or that kind of value information?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Fantastic question. I love my team. And it's funny when I get asked this question now, because people are like, oh, are you a solo founder? Like, how did you do this by yourself? And I'm like, yeah, the idea was mine, but like, I would be nowhere without the Mount team. We're a team of 12 strong at this point. And I look at everyone as like a founding member of Mount at this point. And we're all nomadic travelers. That is one thing we have in common. So we love travel. At Mount, we are a remote workforce, so you can live wherever you want in the world and work as long as you're online at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. East Coast hours. And if you want to be in Singapore, you are welcome to do that. It's going to be a bit brutal, but that is the one common thread. And then I think everyone at Mount truly believes in this mission and vision that like what we are building is possible, that we are changing the way we travel, and we want to do it for ourselves and every traveler out there. And so we have this kind of common mission that we all really push forward. And I think that helps what we're building and what we're working towards and all that stuff. So the team is very special.
I love that. You know, we've talked a little bit about the future of Mount and changing travel. Where do you see the industry going in general? And not in this, you know, wishful thinking type way, but like actual trends that are happening in the industry and where maybe you can shift that or where you might just have to follow along.
Oh, it's a good one. I mean, what I see right now is just the way bookings and trips are coming together is definitely changing. And I do attribute that a lot to TikTok and short form video. Talk to anyone these days that goes somewhere and they're probably like, oh, I saw this on TikTok and I wanted to go. Or I saw it on Instagram Reels and it made me really just want to do it. And I think that's not a trend just with travel, but that's just a trend with life. That's how I find my restaurants. Like, I think TikTok is becoming the new Google and people want to see and experience stuff visually before they do it themselves. And I think that's the new form of written recommendations. Like, I think everything's going to become pretty visual and video formatted. That's something I've already seen take place. And there are some cool startups out there that are making TikTok videos bookable. So if you see a specific thing in a TikTok video, they can link to it and you can book it, which I think is phenomenal and very cool. So that's where I'd say everything is going. I mean, for Mount too, we want to incorporate that into our review system. So it's not just words on a page, because that could be so subjective, but more show me your experience and let me decide if it was good or bad.
So there are, I have heard in this conversation, two paths to get to know Mount, right? So you could watch a TikTok video and then maybe want to find that local activity and then use the platform. And you can also check Airbnb. And if you see that there is a partnership with the person who's renting the Airbnb, then you can have recommendations from Mount, right? Is there another path that if you want to discover the world, how can you find Mount? Am I making sense?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, there is a third path. It's not live yet, so it should be live early next year. And I think right now, if you go onto the website, you can join like the traveler community waitlist. But basically, we are going to make this publicly accessible in some sort of fashion. We don't know exactly what it looks like yet, but I think you're going to have to join our traveler community, kind of get accepted into that so that we know you will be adding value to the community we're creating. But then once you're in, you get access to everything we've built, which is this network of accommodations, experiences, destinations, other travelers. And that's kind of where you will all be able to communicate with each other, find Mount everywhere you're going, and really embody that Mount traveler.
All right. So I think in terms of, you've heard it here first, everyone, via Maddie Rifkin, that travel is going to go in two ways, or is going and will continue to go. And that has a lot to do with visualization and community.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Well, Maddie, thank you so much for sharing your story, the Mount story of your very cool tech with us here on Dojo Live. We of course wish you and your amazing team nothing but success as you move forward.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure chatting with you both.
Thank you. We'll stick around for just a minute as we go off air. But before we do, I'd like to introduce what we do have coming up next week. We've got two shows in the pipeline. The first up is, and now I lost my cheat sheet here, just a minute. Yes, sorry about that. First up is going to be with Travel Cash. That is on the 7th, and that's a platform out of Brazil. And that's going to be a really cool conversation with Marcelo Biculo. And then following up will be one of Ancora Own's UI UX researchers and designers, Katia Alexander. And she's going to be talking about something that I think is really in line with what we talked about today, and that is the Gen Z traveler, the research that they did, sharing that with the audience to see how and what's coming up in terms of travel trends. So don't miss that on the 8th, right here in Dojo Live, 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific. Thank you again, Maddie. Thank you, America, as always. And have a great...
Check out past episodes, transcripts, blogs, and more on our website, dojo.nearsoft.com.